reading from the Jiva Dharma. I think it's chapter, I'm not sure if it's 3 or 4. Babaji Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Babaji Mahasai said, when Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion, makes her appearance in a person's heart, that heart automatically becomes elevated. He then becomes dear to all jivas. Everyone, devotees and non-devotees alike, feel affection for the Vaishnavas, and that is why every human being should become a Vaishnava. As soon as Mahari Mahasai heard this, he said, you awakened my faith in Nitya Dharma. It seems to me there is a close connection between Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma. But so far, I have not been able to understand how they are identical. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Aksur Nurtanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Svapadantikam. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashundu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. All the sun falls. Very, very spiritual neighborhood. Really, it is. So, what a wonderful spiritual knowledge and what a wonderful great idea to describe people coming to Krishna consciousness. The generation after Lord Chaitanya. And to describe the tattvas, the various truths, categorical truths of Krishna consciousness through the enlightenment of various people who come to become enlightened by this holy monk. Babaji, Premdas Babaji, living in the sacred place of Gojram Dweep, the island which represents and has the potency to infuse attachment for the holy name. If you go to a holy place, you'll notice there's a great connection between the internal and the external. The mind is made of matter, and according to the form of the objects of the senses that one is confronted in a particular environment, its sounds, its tastes, its smell, etc., generally moves the consciousness in that way. And in bhakti, you have to understand this difference between bhakti and yoga. In yoga, one tries to quell the mind. Because generally speaking, the mind is the repository of desires based on the false conception of life. I am the enjoyer and this world is mine. And by following those impulses, the ignorance that binds oneself to the material world increases. But the process of bhakti is a little bit different. Rather than quell the mind, the process of bhakti tries to conform the mind to the soul. The soul is consciousness. Its function is love. So it tries to conform the mind to the nature of the soul by infusing the mind with love and devotion, and therefore spiritualizing the mind just as much as fire makes an iron ball hot and bright. So objects and acts of devotion and places of devotion make the soul loving. They make the soul loving. So holy place makes the soul loving just by being in that holy place. It's very, very potent. Those of you who have gone to those holy places, especially under the guidance of people who can reveal those holy places, understand that. So Prem Das Babaji is living in Gojrindeep, and we're hearing the second story of a person coming to him and being enlightened. The first story is of Sannyas Thakur, who becomes Vaishnav Das. He was an impersonalist, and by having his misconception about what the eternal nature of the soul is clarified, because that's a misconception of the impersonalists. They believe that individuality is of an illusory condition of the material world. Where the true conception is that individuality is an eternal reality. The individual may have misconceptions. When he clears up those misconceptions, one of the misconceptions he doesn't clear up is that he's an individual. He just clears up the conception of what that individual is. He's not the enjoyer and the controller. He's a servant of Krishna. But the fact that one is an individual is not an illusory concept. And certainly not according to the Vaishnava conception. So he becomes enlightened. And then another person comes who is a Brahmin. And this is why the book is called Jiva Dharma. It's called the Nature of the Soul. So he also has a misconception of what Dharma is. He thinks that the brahminical duties are eternal, but they're circumstantial. They're based to a person being in the mode of goodness, but they're not. And when the person becomes transcendental, then some of those duties may no longer be those person's duties. So that also becomes clarified. And then this Lahari Mahasai, he hasn't been initiated yet. He hears, because Prem Das Babaji and humility, and also just in terms of desire, asked his new disciple Premdas to enlighten Lahari Mahasaya, and he answers his questions, and after answering his questions, there's really a change in Lahari Mahasaya. And that's what basically happens. If someone can present the absolute truth in a way in which another person can digest it, that will open the person's mind to the experience of God. We can't realize God simply by the intelligence, but by our intelligence, we can have proper understanding of God and matter and spirit and their relationship. And by intelligence, we can have our doubts cleared. By knowledge, we can have our doubts cleared. And when the doubts are cleared, the faculty of the mind will be accepting of spiritual knowledge, but not only spiritual knowledge, but the experience of spiritual knowledge. That's called Shraddha. Shraddha is a belief, and certainly having our doubts cleared is a necessary prerequisite for accepting any truth. But it's not the criteria alone. It's also the experience of that truth. And the truth is none other than the service of God. It's the experience of that service. So, Lahari Mahasaya, an association of Vaishnav Das, is now an elevated Vaishnav. His doubts are cleared, which allows him to have the experience of bhakti. And that's why people generally don't leave Krishna consciousness. By the philosophy, as much as the failure to renew the experience of devotion regularly. So then this Lahari Mahasaya, he's living in an ashram, and somehow the Babaji that owns that ashram, Madhava Das Babaji, he's still having connection with his previous wife, and Lahari Mahasaya, he feels that may affect his reputation by living there. And he's afraid if his reputation becomes affected, he may lose the association of very elevated and strict Vaishnavas. So out of fear of that, he comes back to Vaishnav Das and Prem Das Babaji and asks him if they can live in his ashram. So they're basically bhajananandis. Their main pleasure is the personal nourishment of their own spiritual lives by constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna. And so, you know, there's just little kutirs. They're basically the cob houses or straw houses. And he's living in one, and generally the sadhus, they stay up all night meditating. They take very little sleep. He sees what he thinks is a snake, and he yells out to Vaishnav Das to be careful. Vaishnav Das calls him in and tells him that the snake cannot beat but fight the spiritual body. So, and the that activity is mostly under karma. So it's not that you're capable of protecting yourself or saving yourself. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And basically, he's giving a very important point, because these people are retiring for bhajan. And one is not capable of doing that if one is in the bodily platform, because the senses and mind will disturb the consciousness too much to make that a suitable activity. So when he hears this truth spoken by Vaishnav Das, but not only spoken by Vaishnav Das, but spoken with such conviction, such realization, it gave him the strength and helped him to conquer his own fear. And then he is just telling Vaishnav Das that you've awakened my faith, and then he begins to inquire. Faith is the precursor of knowledge. So when you have faith, you can learn from someone whose conceptions and realizations are beyond what you can presently perceive. So faith is such an important element in learning, and therefore generally a cultured society is the culture of faith. It tries very, very much. It tries very, very much to protect that faith. I see sometimes on the internet, and it's a general congregation of devotees, they don't know the culture. Because it's one thing reading about it, but there's another thing seeing it. And I feel fortunate to have grown up in Krishna consciousness in India. I feel very fortunate. Because I've seen people live it. I learned so much just from a word, just seeing how people behave. And one thing that's very prominent in the Vaishnava culture is the culture of faith and the culture of avoiding offenses. And I see people who claim to have understanding of Prabhupada's teaching miss these facts. Somehow or other, without seeing it in life, they can't see it in the books. I always remember reading in the Bhakti Sandarbha, it says, Acharyamam Bijaniyam Navamanita Kari Chit. One should accept the Acharya as my very self. And how reading in some of the commentators who say this verse is so broad, it's not just referring to seeing the spiritual master as Krishna. Navamanyetya karjit, don't envy them in any way. Meaning that even in the Bhagavatam, spoken 5,000 years ago, There's such a tendency to hate authority. Even if it's legitimate authority. Because authority and really knowledge may rule your life in ways that are good for you but are against your own personal desires. Therefore, there's such a tendency to hate authority that Krishna has to say in the Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago, Nava manyeta kari chit, do not hate the guru. Do not hate the teachers. And one who's advanced is humble, and specifically humility means submissive to authority, which is also connected to one's detachment. Because one wants to be ruled by truth, not by one's desires. And that's what humility is. Humility means the desire to be ruled by truth rather than one's desires. Doesn't mean truth is against one's desires, but it means that truth rules one's desires. So people hate authority. And those who are advanced don't. They're submissive. Nava manyeta, Acharya, accept him as my very self. Accept the Guru. Accept. It's everyone who's authority. It's your parents. It's your husband. It's your teachers. Anyone who's in the position to represent Krishna, and representing Krishna means his will or his words. So this Lahari Mahasaya has heard that through the expert speaking teachings and convictions of Vaishnava Das, his guru now, he feels faithful, and therefore he begins to ask inquiries. So today we'll deal with this inquiry. It'll be a little reading, but that's okay. Are Vaishnava Dharma and Nitya Dharma identical? I may even just give a little summary. What's going to be discussed here is there's two types of Vaishnav Dharma. There's Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma and Vidha. Vidha Vaishnav Dharma, adulterated and pure. And the pure Vaishnav Dharma, which is also known as that, is known as Nitya Dharma or Paradharma, the Supreme Dharma. That's unalloyed love for Krishna. There's nothing in the heart but the desire to please Krishna. In the relationship that one has with Krishna. So that's Nitya Dharma. To have a relationship, our relationship with Krishna is Nitya Dharma. And then he says to him, Vaishnava Das, who's very learned, even before he became a devotee, he quotes the Mundaka Upanishads, which is Shruti Shastra. Yag vigate sharvam idim vigatam. Everything becomes known when one understands the supreme truth clearly. So he's saying, I'm explaining these things. And all the details to the question you're asking, but when you really firmly realize God, you'll know everything. So he's saying, I'm giving you a simple understanding of Vaishnava Dharma. But gradually, gradually, out of God's mercy, the Guru's mercy, the full import will be revealed. There are two types of adulterated Vaishnava Dharma. So then he describes the two types. Karma Vidha Vaishnav Dharma, Jnana Vidha, that mixed with karma and that mixed with Jnana. And that mixed with karma, it means people perform various worship of Vishnu. But they believe that it's only an aspect of karma and subject to the laws of karma. But they do worship. They take initiation to a Vaishnav mantra, and they worship Vishnu. But Vishnu is not described as swarat, fully independent. He's under karma, they say. And I saw this once when I was visiting an astrologer in Jaipur. And he was a nice, just a regular man, maybe a bank manager, and then his guru walked in. It was a very portly, middle-aged Brahmin with like a very big belly. And he had he's an astrologer. He was the astrological guru, and he had rings on all his fingers to counteract all the platforms. And immediately they start bringing him different types of food. And then he looked at me, what is the use of your bhakti? If this constellation comes, it will rule you. So they believe karma rules everything. So there are many people in India who claim to be Vaishnavas who adhere to this philosophy. It's called Mimamsaka philosophy. It's basically your work, your efforts are everything. And the results of your previous work are everything. That's supreme. Not God. But God can be used for the purification, whether he exists or not. And the other type, so there's Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma, and then it's mixed, and mixed with karma, now mixed with Jnana. And this type of Vaishnav Dharma believes that you can worship Vishnu, but they believe that God is beyond Vishnu. The supreme truth is incomprehensible, all-pervading. And in order to obtain this, you can work in forms of worship, which is Vaishnavism. But when you become realized, you can give up the worship and you'll attain this state. Many people also accept this doctrine. And even though they may worship Vishnu and then have diksha and puja, and they may worship Radha Krishna, it's not pure Vaishnava Dharma. Because that's not their objective or goal, it's just the means to be used. Prabhupada often described that type of worship, where you worship God to get something, not out of love. It describes like the relationship with a prostitute. the prostitute worships you and satisfies you for the money. But when they get what they want, they have no use for you. The simile, people may worship Vishnu with an understanding that it's not to Krishna one must surrender, but the unborn beginning was within Krishna or something like that. And they do all the rituals of devotion. And they may worship Radha Krishna, but it is not Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma. It's Jnana Vidha Vaishnav Dharma. It's mixed with that. The Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma that comes to light when one eliminates the adulterated forms is the true Vaishnav Dharma. Even if not covered by karma again. Due to the influence of the age of Kali, most people cannot understand what pure Vaishnav Dharma is. They therefore accept the various adulterated forms as true Vaishnav Dharma. So without this kind of teaching and understanding, people can become confused. And they could be performing this karma mishra bhakti or this jnana mishra bhakti, thinking that they're performing Vaishnav, pure Vaishnav bhakti, pure devotion. But they're not, and they won't get love of Godhead. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, human beings display three different tendencies with regards to the absolute truth. So Vaishnav Das is now going to go on to the further elaboration and explain in another way what is Vaishnav Dharma. That Vaishnav Dharma is when your worship is of God. Twasmin, Narada Bhakti Sutras, Twasmin Parama Prema Rup. It is the highest form of love for God in the fullest personal manifestation of God. And now he's going to explain it. As you remember, this Vaishnav Das is a very, very comprehensive and wonderful scholar. So everything is spoken in context, in a way one could understand. And he's gradually building his case. So now he's going to explain why Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma is the real eternal duty of the soul in another way. According to Bhagavatam, there's three tendencies towards the absolute truth. One is towards the impersonal, which is called Brahma, Pravritti. Pravritti means the tendency. The tendency towards the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, Paramatma, Pravritti, and the tendency towards the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, Bhagavata Pravritti. The Brahma Pravritti inspires some people with ruchi for worshipping the indefinite, fearless, nivishesha, Brahma's ultimate principle. The method they adopt in order to attain this is known as panchaposhana. So they want something. They think there's something beyond Krishna. So they worship Krishna to go beyond Krishna. Prabhupada was so critical of this. He said, how can they say it's not to Krishna we want to surrender to, but the unborn beginningless within Krishna? The Paramatma Pravritti inspires others with ruchi for accepting the yoga principle, which establishes contact with the subtle form of the Paramatma. The methods they adopt to try to attain the trance of absorption in Paramatma, Samadhi, are known as Karma Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. This doctrine holds that karma includes initiation into the chanting of Vishnu mantras worship of Sri Vishnu, meditation, and other such practices. The system therefore includes Vaishnava Dharma, adulterated with karma. So, people have another inclination. Fortune achievers are influenced by the Bhagavat Praviti to receive Ruchi, the Savishesha Bhagavat Srup, the pure personal form of Bhagavan who possesses all qualities and attributes. So one is fortunate, one chants Krishna's name. And you think about it, when you chant the personal name of someone, it is referring to all their characteristics. But when you have some kind of nickname or some title, it's just referring to some of their characteristics. So this is the Bhagavat Praviti, the tendency to worship God. And when you're fortunate, because you become influenced or ruchi towards Savishesha Bhagavat Srup, the pure eternal form of Bhagavat who possesses all qualities and attributes. These type of jivas, they follow God and become established in Bhakti Tattva, and their activities are such as worshiping Bhagavan, which are not karma or gyan. They're components of Shuddha Bhakti. They don't worship the deity in any other way than out of love, without any motive for oneself. This is real bhakti. Real bhakti is towards God and his personal manifestation, which is called Bhagavan. The Vaishnava Dharma that conforms to this doctrine is Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma. Okay, so he's explaining now again, because he wants to know if Vaishnava Dharma is Nitya Dharma, eternal, or it's just something that was temporary done to attain something else. So is the Vaishnava Dharma the Nitya Dharma? So he's going to explain the various tendencies to worship God, whether it's karma praviti, Vaishnava vita karma, Vaishnava Dharma, jnana vita Vaishnava Dharma. So those are not pure. And the Vaishnava Dharma that conforms to this Bhagavat Praviti, the tendency to worship the personality of Godhead, this is the Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma. And it happens to be found in the Bhagavatam. And right from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says, Dharma kaita votra paramo namatsaranata. Dharma kaita votra projita. Completely rejecting any dharma that has any personal self-interest. Because that's not really dharma. Because dharma is our eternal nature, and our eternal nature is to love. And love means without self-interest. He says this type of dharma that has no selfish tendency manifests in relationship to Bhagavan. Because he's going to explain, when you worship Brahman, you have one personal desire. Paramatma, you want yogic powers, and you're directed there in your tendencies. But when you just want love, and you just want to please, and you just want to serve, then the special tendency for serving the personal aspect of God manifests. The verses, Vedanta tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate. Those who know the absolute reality describe this non-dual ultimate substance as the supreme truth. Some know this same advayam gyan tattva, this non-dual consciousness, by the name of Brahma, some by the name of Paramatma, and others Bhagavan. Bhagavat Tattva is the supreme Tattva, and it is the basis of both Brahma and Paramatma. Brahman and Paramatma is this personal conception of truth, Bhagavat Tattva, that is the pure conception of Sri Vishnu. The jivas who purchase this principle of pure jivas and their inclination is called bhakti. When you just want to serve, the inclination is called bhakti. And that inclination is most inherent, constitutional, for your soul. The jivas who pursue this principle of pure jivas and their inclinations called bhakti. Devotion for Sri Hari, Hari Bhakti, is celebrated by the names Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma, the Nitya Dharma, eternal function, Jiva Dharma, the constitutive function, the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion of worshiping the Supreme Lord, Paramatma Dharma, the religion that strives for the ultimate benefit, and Paradharma, the supreme fact function. All types of dharma that arise from the tendencies towards Brahma and Paramatma are naimittika, not nitya. And it's obvious because read that again. All types of dharma that arise from the tendencies toward Brahman, Paramatma are naimittika and not nitya. Because they're not purely of the soul, and therefore they're not eternal. They're based on, your duty is based on external conditions, and when the external conditions are no longer there, then the tendency is not there, the duty is not there. The cultivation of Nirvishesh Brahma is motivated by a material purpose, and therefore not naimittika, not the material purpose of Gyan is to become free from suffering, to get personal liberation. But the desire is based on a condition that may not always be there. Therefore, it's not nitya, it's naimittika, it's dependent on. When a jiva is anxious to gain release from bondage to matter, his state of imprisonment becomes the nimitta cause that impels him to adopt a naimittika dharma of striving for the state in which all material qualities are extinguished. So when a jiva gets that inspiration, become free from matter, then naturally he feels his conditioning and his material attachments become the cause Your circumstances become the force, bondage of your spiritual practice. And therefore, it's not pure love. I'll just finish this paragraph. When a jiva is anxious to gain release from his bondage to matter, his state of imprisonment becomes the nimittaka cause that impels him to adopt the nimittaka dharma of striving for a state in which all material qualities are extinguished. This striving is said to be naimittaka because it is motivated by a nimitta material cause, namely the state of bondage. Therefore, the dharma of striving to attain Brahma is not eternal. Okay, anyone like to say hello or ask any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, Gail, and then there's someone else after you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Sure, Gail.
I was just about, it's probably not very important, but I was curious as to what is the point in the Mimamsa philosophy of worshiping Vishnu at all, since they believe that karma is really the supreme thing?
They get bent because they always realize that they need to get some reciprocation, some mercy to advance. And therefore, all other processes have worship, but pure bhakti doesn't have karma again. In other words, they're dependent on mercy. And therefore, they have to worship. Now, why do they worship God if they believe that's an illusion, perhaps? I was just reading today why. I just forgot. I guess at this time of night, I kind of get a little tired.
That's okay.
My mind.
It's okay.
So why do they worship? This is a reciprocation. And even though they have the conception sometimes that it's not even real, they somehow believe that the manifestation of God is the highest manifestation of the illusion, if that makes sense. Something like that.
You said that the manifestation of God is the highest illusion.
They believe it's illusion, but somehow or other, it's the highest form of illusion. It's the illusion that will have the most benefit for you. Something like that. But anyway, they're dependent on worship. Even though it's a step. And therefore it's not eternal, that worship. Which is the point here. And it's not pure bhakti, because pure bhakti is you worship, but there's no motive of karma again. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Namaste Srila Prabhupada.
It's Nanda Dulo. We'll speak right after this, okay?
Yes, I have a small question, Maharaj.
Okay, yes.
The question is, as Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Bhonam Janmanaman Te Ganaban Mam Tapa Diyate Vasudevam Shatma Mithi Samhat Vasudurlava. So in that context, in that lecture that I gave, it's wonderful that you are trying to actually espouse the highest in the Vaishnava Dharma. But in practical life, people, they do worship for something, but doesn't it, you know, ultimately beneficial for that person, even though they are looking material or something?
Well, it may be, but I really don't think. I think if you analyze that verse, it's not talking about the same type of gyan as this conception of worship. It may not be the same type of gyan. I'd have to study it. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Vajrade Devdasi.
Hare Krishna, Vajrade. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you.
I heard someone else. I'm curious who it was. Who is that? Okay, anyway, we can end here. Run your call for the circumstances.